Welcome to the Classy Ring Attire Podcast. I'm Joel.
I'm Chris.
It's time to get classy.
Let's do it. So, all right, we're back. We're in our rhythm. So now we're going to preview.
We critiqued one. Now we're going to preview one.
So we're in that nice swing of, are we still in that after Hell in a Cell? I don't know when TLC is.
Yeah. I think so.
We still TLC and then Survivor Series.
TLC, but I think we have a little bit of a gap.
Okay.
For Survivor Series.
And we still have no idea what's going on in December, do we?
No. They've announced, you know, it's going to be a pay-per-view event at this arena. I don't know what the arena is. But so right. The arena and the date obviously have to have been set in stone by
right.
now.
But
we
actual...
don't know what the name or the gimmick is.
Okay. Maybe Starrcade in Greensboro is going to be like a test.
Well, last I
because
saw...
Because it's not going to be on...
They've said that they
which
are
Which is
not...
weird.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
And here's what adds to the weirdness. It was announced, I don't know if it was today, but it was definitely this week. It was announced that the NXT TakeOver, basically the one leading up to Survivor Series, right?
Yeah.
As that Saturday before, is going to be War Games.
Right. With an actual, like, two-ring match.
Well, it was branded as War Games with the, and, like, part of the announcement was for the first time in 20 years.
Right.
So it's not just a cool name. They are.
Right. They are acknowledging its history, just like they did with Starrcade.
Right.
And in Greensboro.
So.
I think
it's weird that they're taking that. First of all, they're paying attention to these WCW names,
right?
And almost in a way, it's like, oh, did some trademark clear that I'm not aware of,
right? Or I don't. Maybe just they had the idea just all of a sudden, and they're like, well, we had the idea for Starrcade. Well, why don't we use that for NXT?
Yeah.
And to be fair, like this is not a new thing for Triple H. It's something he's wanted to do for.
He's
a
wanted
while.
To do War Games for a long,
like,
long while.
That was, from what I understand, that was what Battlegrounds was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Was it Battleground?
I don't remember.
Yeah.
But I remember him saying in interviews.
Right. That he really wanted to bring it back.
That's what he is.
Yeah.
That's the gimmick, I guess, that he would most like to see make a comeback.
So, and with Starrcade coming back, it really is just, they knew their numbers were going to be down because WrestleCade was going to be that.
WrestleCade and Thanksgiving weekend.
Right. So they knew that, like, they came up with something to kind of steal some numbers back. Which I totally worked because I got my ticket for Starrcade.
Yeah,
you know?
And I mean it's the kind of thing where it probably at this point looking at how they treated it, it just worked out. They're like, oh hey, we're in Greensboro. Oh hey, let's do this.
Right. And so it's just a weird thing. Like it's weird that all this is happening now at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, they announced War Games or NXT TakeOver War Games. Which sounds like a weird like a third or fourth sequel to a video game series.
It's interesting because so the first thing was NXT Arrival. Mm-hmm. And then the second one was NXT TakeOver. And then it started to be NXT TakeOver Fatal 4-Way, NXT TakeOver Grudge Match. Like they would have names
right.
with them. NXT TakeOver Rivalry.
Yeah.
And then they just started being like NXT TakeOver wherever we are.
Right. So I do like that they're not just calling it like I don't know where they're at, but just or
no,
Houston, in Houston though. They're not just calling it TakeOver Houston.
I really like that. I like that they are bringing some sort of branding, some sort of thing of this is this event.
Yeah.
I don't know. It makes the takeovers feel more special. I think to have names attached to them.
Yeah.
And it's just it's a small thing. And I know it doesn't make a real difference,
mm-hmm.
but having the names attached to them makes them feel like thought was put into them.
Yeah.
And this is a...
Or, yeah, just give you the illusion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, you're talking about like, I'm going to, you know, watch WrestleMania and you have like a number. I'm watching WrestleMania 10.
Yeah.
And because that's this event.
Mm-hmm.
And they used to have that for other things, and it's kind of faded away. You're like, I'm going to watch Armageddon.
Well, when it's fading
when it's
away.
You're like, 1999?
And it's starting to fade away now even with WrestleMania, because I don't think WrestleMania's had a number on it
since
30. Yeah.
It's WrestleMania Play Button, WrestleMania Sunshine logo, and WrestleMania Roller Coaster.
Yeah, exactly.
I think.
Something. I Texas Star.
Ah, that was number, yeah, the Sunshine and the Roller Coaster, because Orlando, so those are the same one.
Yeah. So, all right. I guess we can talk about the cruiserweight thing again. Like, it's continuing.
I will totally admit, I didn't watch the cruiserweight 205 Live this week.
I didn't either.
Which, like, bums me out.
Because,
like,
I was waiting for, like, this big, like, because, again, like, clearly they were setting up for a reveal of mm-hmm. someone who's going to be, like, you know, and then Kurt Angle's like, it's Kalisto. And we're like, oh, the guy who should have been on 205 Live this entire time?
Yeah.
That you haven't done anything with? That you've pretty much all but buried? We're supposed to be excited for that? And granted, yes, Kalisto is an amazing talent and everything, yes, but it just guarantees that they're going to still be on the kickoff show.
The way the reveal was handled, the response is, yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
Not, oh boy, not yay.
Yeah.
And I think you could have, I'm not going to say, like, I think there is a scenario where you can present this where the response is, about time, this is exciting, and mm-hmm. it still be, because we all feel like Kalisto should be on 205 Live.
Yeah.
The fact that he's not as weird, bizarre, and hurts both 205 Live and him as a wrestler. But, and I don't know, maybe it was just the way it was announced.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I just, I feel, a part of it is like, I feel bad, I feel ashamed at me that I didn't watch it this week after, like, oh, it's hyped and relevant for the first time since it came out. So part of it, I feel
bad
for me.
You're not alone.
No, but, like, I don't know. And I wish, well, and it came down to the thing where I knew you were coming over to do the podcast. Mm-hmm. I had about an hour, and it was NXT or 205 Live.
Yeah.
And I just chose NXT. And I chose NXT because there is reliability there.
Sure.
I'm going to get
a quality, decent show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I have storylines. And that's part of it is I have storylines, plural, that I know are progressing, that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is...
And NXT, or 205 has different lines, storylines, but they're not solid.
Well, and some of this is, like, NXT has... Like, I know, you know, I knew that there was going to be this championship match here because it was talked about on earlier episodes. They announced this week that... what's his name, is going to face Almas.
Gargano.
Yes, thank you.
A rematch.
Which, like, okay. That so I know if that's a thing that I'm interested in, which I'm interested in enough, but, like, oh, that's going to be on this week. I want to make sure and tune in. Mm-hmm. But they announced, like, this stuff is happening next week, and I don't get any of that
to
on 205 Live.
And to be fair, though, this is also, like, with NXT, it's pre-taped.
It is.
So they know it's going to be this next week or 2 weeks in advance because they've already taped it.
It's been a complaint I've had about Raw where they act like the main event is made like at 8:30.
Right.
And you're like, what are you doing? You should, you know, have...
You should have done this by now.
Exactly. Yeah. And there should be a thing where I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to watch Raw tonight. I don't know if I'm tuning in. Oh, but I see that Braun Strowman is facing Roman Reigns. Mm-hmm. And I want to see that. I'm glad that they've announced that. I'm glad that they've hyped that up as a must-see thing. I need to be sure and tune in. And they do that sometimes.
Right.
And they, I mean, that's partly why it's so frustrating is because you get things like, most recent example, I think, is Strowman and Big Show, where it had a nice build-up. It was announced a week ahead of time, I think. We're doing this next week. They reiterated there were, like, promos of it for SmackDown, and I'm like, I want to see these two guys face off, especially with all this, you know, heat on this one guy. And so, but they have that, and then the next week, they're like, you know, it's a tag team match between these two guys because they were arguing at the top of the show.
Right.
And so there's, like, that's frustrating, and that's annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But Raw can do that because it is this well-established, long-running juggernaut of a show.
Yeah.
And it's the default, like, if I'm going to watch anything in 1 week, if I'm just going to watch one thing in a week, it'll be that.
Right.
And 205 Live doesn't have that.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still treating it like that.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because I'm not watching it consistent enough that I don't get the, like, oh, I need to watch it next week because these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is they don't have any, like, be sure and watch 205 Live promos going on during the other shows.
Yeah.
Like, if I missed Raw, SmackDown and 205 Live and NXT will all tell me what the main event is next week with Raw.
Right.
If they're promoing one.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen with 205 Live.
No, no.
And so it's still very easy to, like, I'll catch you next week. I'll tune out. Somebody will tell me if it's
sure. Important. Yeah.
It's the same issue when SmackDown was on Thursdays and Fridays.
Yeah.
We're like, oh, somebody tell me if it's important.
Yeah, and then you'll find out, like,
I'll find out
the next day, like, hey, you need to check out this segment or this main event or whatever. Yeah. How long do you think it'll be before Enzo brings up Kalisto's botched Lucha thing promo? I give it a week.
So, based off of one thing, I don't remember if we talked about this last week or not. I really liked Enzo last week on 205 because it felt so much more like he was doing the same off the cuff thing that he did in NXT.
Yeah.
Part of what really butchered that character in Raw was they tried to bottle what worked for him. And so he would go off on this crazy rant that sounded like a mid-80s Hulk Hogan, you know, these are adjectives I learned today kind of rant. But it would, you know, get over. But it feels like once he's on Raw, somebody at corporate is like, oh, Zero Dimes gets a pop.
Yeah.
You say Zero Dimes in every promo now.
Right.
That's your catchphrase. And so we're getting more and more convoluted ways to get Zero Dimes worked into the promo. And it didn't feel like that on 205.
Yeah.
Because I do think, you know, and I'm obviously contradicting myself being like, I didn't watch it. It's better.
Right, yeah.
But I do think it's things like that that are what 205 Live needs.
Yeah. And I just completely missed something, but I felt like a real big disconnect on specifically on Raw, because he had that backstage segment with the interview with Renee Young where Renee asked him a question. He was just like stoic and just didn't say anything and just, you know, you could tell he'd gone through some things. And then later in the main event of the night, music goes off. He comes out and he's Enzo.
Yeah.
I'm just like, well, what happened to that guy? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
It seems like for all the good things that he's doing with this current iteration of his character or whatever, there's still like this weird disconnect. And maybe that's a writer thing and no one told him like, hey, when you make your entrance, make sure you continue that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
I don't know. And I don't know who's in charge of what things and like, and we know that backstage segments are produced by somebody different than who's necessarily producing the in-ring segment.
Yeah.
So that could be a conflict.
And where does Neville fit in all this, you know?
I don't know.
It seems like they've already, like, with this whole Kalisto thing, I understand the need for Kalisto because
everybody touched him.
Right, so.
Which, and I will say, that I like that as a solution. That's a perfectly fine thing. And that is a better solution than what I assumed was, you know, I'm revoking that, and now everybody has a shot again. So I like that they set up these consequences and they're following through.
Right, and actually...
I like that they have a solution that doesn't make me feel like the rug was pulled out from under me.
Right.
Which I was very much expecting. I was waiting for that rug to be pulled. Because it happened so much.
Yeah.
The whole, like, you know, what you need the lockbox. You beat The Undertaker, you get to be GM.
Yeah.
Or you didn't. Now you get to be GM anyway.
Right. I still think it would have been more impactful if it was still just Neville that had, you know, attacked him.
I wish it had been
Neville. And then you can run the scenario where, like, at every turn, Neville is just screwing things up for Enzo as he faces a new challenger or whatever, you know, whatever the case, and ultimately causes Enzo to lose the belt.
We are at a little bit of a weird spot where it feels like Kalisto has to win.
Right.
Because we need to get that belt off of Enzo and back into the pool of everybody's technically eligible.
Right.
But, you know, maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, I'll absolutely think, you know, Neville is going to basically cost Enzo the belt at some juncture.
I can believe that.
And that's, you know, his involvement in 205 Live now. I don't know. I'm ready for Neville to do things outside of 205 Live with that character.
I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But if they lose Neville,
right,
like,
then they're really, yeah, then they've really gone wrong somewhere, because he's one of the better characters of this entire year.
You're pulling the defibrillator from a dying man because somebody else wants to use it as a fashion accessory.
Right. Yeah. So maybe not take him off that. Yeah, because basically he's all that 205 Live has, mm-hmm, aside from Enzo now.
Well, especially as any sort of actual crossover appeal,
mm-hmm,
they still have this issue of, on Raw, especially for a casual viewer who doesn't watch 205 Live, who didn't watch the Cruiserweight Classic,
mm-hmm,
randomly in the middle of Raw, the ropes turn purple and a couple of nobodies,
yeah,
have a match. That is a perfect bathroom break.
Sure.
Segment, especially as the women's division,
mm-hmm,
continues to try and not be that bathroom break.
Yeah.
The Cruiserweights have swooped in and are providing that need,
mm-hmm,
very easily. So you need guys to make it, if not big on Raw, mm-hmm, at least be Raw aware, Raw adjacent.
Yeah.
And then go to 205 Live to be able to build up any sort of main event scene.
Yeah.
205.
And as far as I'm concerned, there's really only one other thing that we really need to touch on before we get into Hell in a Cell. That is, well, we find out that there's a reason why this Bray Wyatt and Finn Balor feud is continuing forever, because they're apparently going through some sort of character transformation with Bray. I assume so.
I will believe it when I see it.
Right, yeah. So,
like, I really feel like it's going to be like, character transformation, be sure and tune in, it's happening in 2 weeks, it's happening next week.
Oh, sure.
He got a new hat.
Right.
And now everything's different.
And from what I understand is, you know, we are getting Sister Abigail. I don't know if it's going to be next week or whatever.
Yeah.
And
so
to everyone,
if it's Asuka.
Huh?
So help me if it's Asuka.
Well, there are a lot of, you know, speculation going around on who Sister Abigail is. Current word, and if you don't want it spoiled for you, in case this is right, there's your warning. Apparently, it is going to basically be Bray Wyatt's version of Finn Balor's demon. That, like, he himself is Sister Abigail. And that was, like, the weird, like, face paint or whatever that was during his promo.
Right.
Yeah.
I think, honestly,
mm-hmm,
I think it should be Paige.
Yeah, it should be. 100%.
Paige is my pick because she's been off long enough.
Mm-hmm.
She's not an NXT call-up where you're like, oh, mm-hmm, Ruby Riott's been wrestling for a while. She could probably make it. But she'll still get a pop as Sister Abigail. They're finally doing the Sister Abigail thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, she'll get a pop as a Paige return.
Right.
Plus, what else are you doing with her?
And it'll deflect, you know, just the mountain of garbage that she's had to go through, and that's been public knowledge for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So, it'll be a nice little deflection. And you can play into it, you know, mm-hmm, be like, hey, went through all these things, and I was going through a hard time in my life, and then Bray.
Yeah. Well, you also...
And then Bray, through his delusions, assumed that this is Sister Abigail or whatever.
You also can lean into, like, no, this is Sister Abigail.
Mm-hmm.
What's a Husky Harris? That never existed.
Yeah.
I mean, you can be like, no, this is the character.
Yeah.
So that, while we're all going to know it's Paige, and some jerks are going to chant Paige and
mm-hmm,
chant obscene, like, leaked pictures chance.
Yeah.
You don't have to... it's easier to not acknowledge it on
mm-hmm
your product by being like, no, this is Sister Abigail. New character.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. How would you feel if it ended up being Bray? Like, his alter ego or whatever.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And part of it is, he's talked about Sister Abigail for so
yeah
long. Sister Abigail's gone from interesting mystery to nothing.
Yeah.
And it was just jibber-jabberish flim-flam for
yeah
years. So,
and then Randy Orton apparently burned the barn down where her body was buried.
Right. So there was that, and you were like, okay, that's weird. But then it's like, oh, she's coming. Like, oh, yeah, I guess she could be a character. Like, I'd almost forgotten about it.
Yeah. It really feels like this is a card that they've been holding on to for a while.
Yeah, but it got to the point where, like, he was calling on the power of Sister Abigail the way Hogan was calling on, like, the Hulkamaniacs.
Right.
Or Goku calls for Linmir energy.
Right.
It wasn't so much a real character or person until it's like, oh, yeah, I guess it could be.
Yeah.
Okay. Bray doesn't, I don't think, need to come out in something different.
Yeah.
I'm a little worried that if they're going to try and touch on any, like, oh, Bray, a man, a giant bearded man, is going to play a character called Sister Abigail.
Yeah.
Like, WWE doesn't handle easy things with the greatest of tact.
Right. And that would, and that basically,
it's quite a minefield for them to go frolicking into.
And definitely not something they would have done on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And would point, like, all signs would point to this is a complete afterthought. Like, they did not plan this thing through. Whenever this whole Sister Abigail first came to fruition, they did not plan on this whatsoever. Yeah.
I mean, you can also, it's really easy, like, and it's an easy out to admit, like, Bray Wyatt is not the Undertaker heir apparent that you thought he was.
Yeah.
So you bring out somebody, Paige for the example, but literally anybody, you bring out somebody as Sister Abigail, and Bray bows down to them, worships them, they're immediately shot into this leader of the Wyatt family slot. They get Bray as a, like, nice enforcer character.
Yeah.
And then you have a female Undertaker-esque character that can make a pretty big impact into your women's roster pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. And you have a pretty good mouthpiece with Bray.
Mm-hmm.
I really, like, whatever the case may be, I feel like this is, like, the Hail Mary for Bray Wyatt.
Yeah.
You know, if this doesn't take off or whatever.
I mean, it is for me. I was...
Yeah.
I was done until they reminded me, like, oh, this could be a character.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, okay, well, let's see what you got.
Yeah.
So it's definitely, it's the final Hail Mary.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so with that, let's get into...
Hell in a Cell.
So we'll start with the kickoff match, which is Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin versus the Hype Bros.
Chad Gable, Shelton Benjamin.
Yeah, because they're leaning into this breakup with the Hype Bros, so I'm assuming that's going to happen. Also, I mean, there's not really anything to predict, but there will be a new Fashion Files, apparently, on... They didn't have time to do it on SmackDown, so they moved it to Hell in a Cell, their pay-per-view.
Okay.
Unless it's, like, a particularly long episode of Fashion Files, which I wouldn't mind.
Technically, it's their own network, so they can make it go as long as they want. Like,
yeah, you're right.
So that technically makes sense, although I get the why that feels dumb.
Yeah. So we got Randy Orton versus Rusev in a singles match.
Okay, I will say this. At least it's a singles match in the ring that will end in a pinfall or submission.
That we know of.
Or disqualification.
Yeah.
But, like, it's not a flag match.
Yeah.
It's not a go fight on the farm match.
Well.
It's not a there's, you know.
Well, their SummerSlam match was supposed to, was that.
I know. But, like, I felt all this way about that. It's just, I feel like Randy Orton will phone it in a lot, but he will phone it in to the 100th degree if he thinks the gimmick is stupid. And Randy Orton thinks a lot of things are stupid.
Yeah, he does. So that being said, I'm just going to say Rusev wins.
You think so?
With the help of Aiden English.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to go Randy Orton.
Okay.
I see them doing to Rusev what they're doing to Bray Wyatt, where they, like, think he can take infinite losses and still be a dominant creature.
Right. I don't know. So now we got, well, this is going to be obvious. Bobby Roode versus Dolph Ziggler.
Bobby Roode?
Yeah, obviously.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Same here, Bobby Roode.
Okay. I will be 100% on board with this if Dolph Ziggler comes out to Glorious.
Yeah.
Like, it fits his whole, like, gimmicks are stupid.
Yeah.
Look, anybody can do a gimmick.
He'll do like a cheap version of it, and then like, well, here's the real thing or whatever.
Yeah.
So then you got the United States Championship match, AJ versus Baron Corbin.
Right.
Are they? AJ. It's one. Yeah, I'm thinking AJ too because I don't think they're done burying.
No, I think Baron Corbin's still in trouble.
Yeah, I think Baron. Then we got the women's championship match, Natalia versus Charlotte.
I mean, I was gonna go Charlotte, except for the one thought of like, God, wouldn't it be a Flair winning a title in a cage match in North Carolina at Starrcade?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, or a Flair retaining in Starrcade. Like, both are, you know.
Yeah. And again, we're going back to the beginning of the show, but like, it weirds me out that they're not putting this on the network. And so the only other thing is like, well, maybe they'll do something big and monumental as like a, be sure and come out to the house shows. You never know what could happen.
And also, Survivor Series is also before Starrcade. So you have two pay-per-views that SmackDown's going to be a part of before that. So I'm willing to say Charlotte can win it and lose it before then.
All right, I'll say Charlotte.
So, yeah, I was going to go Charlotte. This one, which is probably going to be match of the night, like the Hell in a Cell tag team match, New Day versus Usos. I'm going to say New Day.
I will say New Day. I will also happily jump on board of probably match of the night. This is the match I'm looking the most forward to.
Like, if there was ever a match that necessitated a Hell in a Cell, it would have been this. A, because they haven't done a tag team in Hell in a Cell in a long time.
Yeah.
If ever.
Not that I know of, but I'm sure it's very possible I'm missing
something. But some sort of tornado tag. And B, because it's a tornado tag.
Yes.
Which is just what we always want. So New Day and Usos have proven time and time again that they know what they're doing when it comes to tag team. And no matter what type of match it is, they
have beyond delivered.
Yeah.
Every time they've come out for the past 3 months.
Yeah. And so now the question is, like, which iteration of New Day will we get? I'm assuming Big E will be in it.
Well, it's Tornado.
Yeah.
So,
well, I think Uso said on SmackDown, like, there's only going to be two of them.
Okay. In the cage?
In the cage.
So somebody will be shouting support from the outside of the cage.
Which,
it's got to be Kofi. It's got to be
Xavier
then.
Yeah.
So, like, they've gotten really good about being able to shuffle around.
Yeah.
When the third one can always do some interference.
Sure.
But if you're going to strand one of those two guys outside, completely detached from the match.
And one of them has a trombone that you can kind of...
It's got to be Xavier.
You can take apart a trombone and you can just slide it through one of the... You know, I'm just saying. Yeah, we're both saying New Day on that. But it should be... it's a Hell in a Cell match that's actually going to take place in the cell.
Nice.
We'll get back to that. Next, we got the... You got the WWE Championship match, Jinder versus Shinsuke.
Is that why you're going in this order?
Well, that's also the order that it's on Wikipedia.
Okay. I guess Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I decided I'm done. I can't do it. I refuse to predict that Jinder will win. It's nonsensical.
The character wasn't doing great before this past month.
Yeah.
And then they went the racism route. And that just, whatever life that character had now is gone.
My worry is,
like, no one cares anymore.
That they'll do the same thing.
They tune them out.
That they did with the Punjabi prison, where they're like, it's a structure designed to keep interference away.
Well, they're not in Hell in a Cell.
They're not doing a Hell in a Cell match?
No, there's only two.
I thought there were three this year.
No, there's only two.
Oh, yeah, gross.
It's just a straight up and down match.
That's...
I'm still saying Nakamura just on principle.
I'm saying Nakamura on principle, but that's an extra bucket of soup, and I'm not sure how I missed that.
Yeah, no, there's only two Hell in a Cell matches, and they're not one of them.
God, I swear there were three. All right, fine.
Should I vamp until you come up with more points about this match? Because no. Sounds like your points are all around them being in a cell.
Well, my points are, I at this point, just I'm A, not going to win this year, and B, on moral high ground principle, refuse to pick Jinder Mahal as retaining at any point from now on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And apparently someone posted on Reddit today that that Nakamura has like the best winning percentage out of everybody in WWE this year.
Yeah.
So hopefully someone from WWE doesn't see that, because you know how WWE's like,
need to knock that down to 50-50.
It's like, oh yeah, we need to work those numbers down. But yeah, that title has taken a hit from being, it's taken a bigger hit from being on Jinder Mahal's shoulders than it has, than the Universal title has from not even being,
on the show. Yeah.
For months.
So, somebody pointed this out online, and it's been bothering me ever since.
Mm-hmm.
So just imagine if you flipped the Universal or the WWE title, mm-hmm, and the United States title.
Yeah.
Imagine if Jinder Mahal was the character he was as a dominant United States champion.
Yeah.
He was going through all this. Shinsuke was a mid-card feud where Jinder Mahal belongs.
Right.
While at the same time, AJ Styles was doing the John Cena open challenge, but upping the ante by doing an open challenge with, mm-hmm, the WWE title, defending that every week.
Yeah.
And like you would improve both titles, mm-hmm, standing. You would improve everybody involved in any of these matches.
That means Ty Dillinger has had a championship match then, yeah.
Yeah.
It would be a huge difference maker. And then you would absolutely take the championship a little more seriously, mm-hmm, instead of being, you know, on Jinder Mahal's shoulder. Then it's just,
well,
it feels like it might as well just be collecting.
You could
dust.
Have kept the exact same storylines, everybody, mm-hmm, the exact same wrestlers. You just switch the titles. Jinder Mahal's entire frustrating run would have been viewed entirely differently,
yeah,
had it been a mid card feud for a mid card title.
Yeah.
Especially all the, like, you hate me because I'm different stuff, mm-hmm, and I'm your United States champion.
Yeah.
Like, you could have leaned into that a lot more gracefully than,
mm-hmm,
the promos that we've had for the past month.
Yeah.
So,
both saying,
disappointments all around.
Yes. And so, finally, we've got the main event, I guess, I'm assuming. Shane versus Kevin Owens in a Falls Count Anywhere, Hell Around a Cell match. How should I word this? How dumb is this Falls Count Anywhere stipulation that also there's a cell?
Yeah, it's dumb.
So I'm guessing they're not even going to bother locking it.
They shouldn't.
Yeah.
They honestly shouldn't.
Just. That way they don't even have to come up with some convoluted way of not getting in the cell.
But
knowing them, they're probably going to start at the top of it anyway. They're just going to climb on top of it.
Here's what I want. I want KO to come in first, climb to the top. Shane climbs to the top, gets the top, and as he's climbing on the top, Kevin Owens shimmies back down.
Yeah.
And then he's like, starts taunting, yelling like, jump off of it. Do a flip. It's your favorite thing to do.
I absolutely could see him doing that.
Which would be fantastic heel work for him.
Right. Now, what would be...
and then if he starts, like, laying himself down on the table, like, taunting him.
Mm-hmm. I do have a question. Since it's a Falls Count Anywhere match, if they go to the top of that cage, does that mean the ref has to go up there, too?
I don't know.
I think he does.
I don't know.
Unless he can, like, look up and...
And pin?
Pin, yeah. But no, I think the ref... If the ref doesn't go up there, if they go up there, I'm going to call BS. Now, both of them. If one of them's up there, then fine. I'll give them that out.
But here's what I don't know. If you pin somebody,
mm-hmm,
16 feet in the air, are you pinning them to the ground?
We've seen them, like, Falls Count Anywhere's matches, like, end on, like, staging and tables or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they would just view it the same way.
I don't know.
They would view it the same way. They would, yeah. It would be funny if, like, they,
like, no.
It would be funny if, like, the structure of the cage was, you know, compromised, and they did the pin up there, and then when he comes down for one, two, and three, and then it just falls out.
Well, like,
that'd be scary as hell. I could see
like him pinning, and the ref being like, "I can get my hand under his shoulder, all over here, in the 10 feet of air, doesn't count."
But falls do count anywhere, even in the air. Apparently,
even in the air. In a way, aren't we all falling then? You just get him in a grapple, and man, you're like, I've pinned him to the air. Count it, ref.
Oh,
both of his shoulders are touching oxygen.
I didn't even think about any of the... He's
wearing a jersey. I've pinned him inside his own shirt.
So what's going to happen? What's more likely to happen? Shane jumping or KO throwing? I'm assuming KO is going to throw him off.
You think so?
Because he's already jumped. Even though it's still terrifying because... It's, you know, you saw how big that thing is at WrestleMania.
You think he's going off the top?
Yeah. He did it once. He proved that he could do it. Yeah. He wants to do it again.
Then he's got
to
be thrown, right?
Yeah. You got to change up. You can't do the same spot. Yeah.
I don't know.
You can't have KO down there catching it because that's, you know, yeah, that's definitely a way to crush limbs and crush ribs. Mm-hmm. So... Yeah, no, Shane's going off that thing.
All right.
Again. Again. He's spitting in God's eye once again. Get the crash pad ready somewhere underneath one of those tables.
We have somebody coming, Matt, for you. We're going to have somebody coming to see the show with us who's only ever watched SummerSlam.
Oh, SummerSlam, yeah.
A couple months ago. So
I'm interested to see his reaction.
I don't want to like talk about like, oh, he's definitely jumping off of that thing. Like I don't want to acknowledge the fact that people have leapt off of that thing.
Okay.
Because I want to see.
So we need to spread this message to everyone else that's going there. It's like no sell the fact that anyone's jumped off this. Like you act like this is the first time this has ever happened.
Mm-hmm.
Which it shouldn't be hard because the way as tall as that structure is now, it's still terrifying.
Yeah.
Like. I don't know. I would be okay if they brought back the old cell just for Shane. It's like, here's the old cell. It's still terrifying, but here's your regulator right here. And then Shane's like, no, and he just finds some scaffolding somewhere. And he's like, I refuse. I'm jumping off something tall tonight.
All right. What's making you happy?
I'll tell you what's making me. I went to a concert last night. Okay. It was Manchester Orchestra playing at the Ritz in Raleigh, North Carolina. And it was my first time going to that venue. Man, I'm old. because I'm just, the crowd in general, I felt children. And B, it was one of those venues that doesn't have seats. It's just open floor. And I'm like, all right, so... Well, I mean, if they might have like an opening band or something, and then it'll be a couple hours. It was two opening acts. I was standing for 4 hours, and a lot of those feelings like subsided once the band I came to see was on the stage because that's what I was focused on. But during like the second opening act, I'm just sitting here like shifting my weight, just like I should have worn different shoes. And that's why I'm wearing my more comfortable running shoes now.
You're getting old.
I am. I'm 4 months from 30. It's weird. I know, it's super weird. But the show was a lot of fun. I've described that show as a... it's like a big wall of sound comes and just smacks your entire body. And then somehow that wall like gives you a warm hug. And then repeats that for every song. So it was a really good show. If you ever have Manchester Orchestra in your area, I highly recommend you go check them out. They're a fun band, and they're a fun band to listen to if you have like Spotify or whatever. But just see them live, it was pretty incredible. It was my first time. Been a fan for them for a long time. So, yeah, that's what's making me happy. What about you?
Let's see. Okay, wrestling related.
Yeah, I ain't got one wrestling related. Sorry,
I'm gonna keep this, you know, semi-professional since we're talking about wrestling. You know the angry video game nerd.
Yeah.
He recently released a video of wrestling video games.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, obviously it was like the older ones. But like the NES, SNES games.
Yeah.
He didn't go through all the way up until the frustratingly bad
Raw versus SmackDown stuff.
Yeah.
Obviously, but...
Raw versus SmackDown stuff was fun.
Right, but
those,
like
first few years, yeah.
Well, a lot of the issues turned into graphics issues.
Right.
More than gameplay issues.
And then it never got better, mm-hmm. essentially.
I have always struggled with wrestling controls.
Yeah.
I'm much more used to standard person versus person fighting power bars.
Right.
The whole like pin conglomerate has always
So nice you're more
to
like
hear
somebody
a complain about that.
Yeah, you're more like Street Fighter type.
That's what I'm used to.
Right.
I had a game, it was WWF Superstars for the Game Boy.
Yeah.
That I played a ton as a kid. That was like my wrestling game as a kid.
Yeah.
And so
how have they never made like a Street Fighter type wrestling game? Like WWE themed.
Isn't that what
there was a phone app, but it was basically like
Immortals?
A,
I never actually played Immortals.
Right, but it was basically a repackaged version of like a different mobile game or something.
Yeah, I mean it was Mortal Kombat. It was made by the Mortal Kombat guys.
Right. But I like something that is specifically made for now. Anything that WWE specifically makes is going to be done so cheaply. So
mm-hmm.
I don't know, but I feel like if they like actually put some effort into it, it would be pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Like, cause who cares about realism? Like, no one plays video games. Like, they make stuff look as realistic as they possibly can and everything. But
they do for their numbered ones for the 2Ks now.
Right, but. Do people really want realism in their video games? They want things to be pretty, you know, by all means. You got, mm-hmm. you know, you got consoles that have 4K capability now, so by all means, make it look pretty. But do you really want, like, realistic wrestling types? I mean, some people maybe, but I'm okay with, like, cartoon, like, Street Fighter-esque.
I like the option. I dug it a couple of years back where they made WWE 12 or 13 or whatever year it was. But then they also did the All-Stars thing where everybody was like...
It was very cartoonish.
Souped up cartoon balloon animals.
Up. Yeah.
It was the, you know, art design. But they were doing, you know, crazy over-the-top combo hit.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. So I did like that. And I do wish that something like that would happen some more.
Okay.
So.
That was pretty cool. Awesome.
All right. Anything else?
No, that's it for me.
As always, you can follow us on Twitter at Sierra Tire, where we live tweet appropriate days, one of which will be this Sunday when we're live tweeting Hell in a Cell. So join us on that.
And if you have any questions, any comments, anything you want us to bring up on the show, send that over to our email. That's classroomringattire@gmail.com.
We are also on iTunes. Easy way to follow the podcast. You could subscribe there, give us a rating of
5 stars,
or write a review. That kind of really helps out the podcast, those interactions on iTunes.
And if you are listening to us on InsidePulse.com, leave us a comment on there. We'd love to hear from you.
We're also on Facebook. Easy way to follow Chris. Easy way to follow myself. See what other kind of things we're working on. Until next time, stay classy and huzzah.
Huzzah.